Starting defense. Place at the table. Woo!
Breaking down 6A, 5A, 4A, and all the A's we can get to, with reporters spread out across tonight's top matchups in Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show, part of the Power Rents Game of the Week. With Andrew Nemec, here's your host for the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show, Jason Swigart, on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Back here at Lake Oswego High School, where Tualatin came in and spoiled senior night for the Lakers with a 34-8 victory. The final scores are starting to come in, but we've still got a few games in process. And so we want to get right out to our field reporters. There is another final. That is down in Sherwood. The Bowmen, after a slow start, back in the top 10. Joe Fisher, kind enough to go to his alma mater and let us know. Joe, was Liberty able to make a comeback in the second half?
Unfortunately not, Swag. It was just a little bit. Actually, a 7-0 early lead by Sherwood. Right out the gate, they were able to get the lead on Liberty on a 6-yard touchdown by Clay Pedden. That was followed up just three plays later on the defensive end with a 38-yard interception return by Jamison Gura. That gave the Bowmen a 14-0 lead within minutes of the game starting. And then they were able to just bow their backs on defense and not allow this Liberty offense to do anything in the first quarter, really the first half. They were able to get the ball back. Caleb Hagen scored from 1 yard out, punched it in, gave the Bowmen a 20-0 lead, again, still in the first quarter. And then Sherwood is able to add a fourth touchdown, this time from 19 yards out. Jack Cossey getting this one with 45 seconds left in the first quarter. So, I mean, it was 28-0 in the first quarter, Swag. Liberty, luckily, was able to get a touchdown to cut the lead to 28-7. And they had a chance to get back in this because they actually did receive the second half kickoff. But after that touchdown by Liberty from Hero Diamond to Jackson Lake, Sherwood got it right back, marched down the field, 1 yard touchdown by Holden Gilbert to give them the 35-7 lead. And then just right before halftime, I talked to you guys. I think at that point it was 35-7, and Sherwood was trying to get one more touchdown on the board before halftime, and they did just that. Lucas Vossi scored from 3 yards out with 28 seconds left in the second quarter, which gave the Bowmen the 42-7 lead. They were able to score twice more in the second half to give them this final score of 56-7, and quite surprising knowing the circumstances coming into this game. Both teams were 5-2. Sherwood was 2-0 in the Pacific Conference. Liberty was 1-1, and Liberty needed to win this game to have a shot at that Pacific Conference title, but Sherwood knew that coming in. Coach Law had their guys ready, and Sherwood, they do what they normally do at home. I've heard Andrew say this before, that is one of the most raucous home environments in this state, and they showed it again here tonight, getting a huge win, 56-7. Over Liberty. From Sherwood High School, I'm Joe Fisher for the Power Rents Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan.
Thank you very much, Joe. Glad to have him out in the field for us. He'll be back in the 910 studio next Friday night with the World Series. Will have been concluded at that point, at some point. And so we will have for you Union and Camus from Doc Harris Stadium over there, Buck and Luke on the call. So we're looking forward to that one. Let's get out to the PIL. Rashad Taylor was there for Roosevelt and Jefferson tonight, and this one was still in doubt when we talked to him at halftime. How'd this one finish up?
Well, it's actually not finished up. We still have 9:45. Yes, 9:45 left to go in the fourth quarter. It was looking kind of bleak for Jefferson for a long time. Just before I talked to you guys last time before the half, Roosevelt had just scored. DeMarge Nelson was on a sweep and he scored, and that gave him a nice 15-point cushion at halftime. Then coming back from halftime, Roosevelt wasted no time. Malik Saab escaped for a 74-yard run, and that was a score. Roosevelt starting to run away with it at that point, 27-6 with 10:08 left in the third quarter. And then Demir Collins, just actually as Lynch called to check in with me, Demir Collins scored his second touchdown of the night. That cut into the lead and made the score 27-12. Just as you were talking to Joe, Jefferson scored again. Jameer Collins, one more time, scores after a costly fumble during the kickoff. Scores now 27-20 with 9:45 left in the game. Roosevelt is about to receive the ball, so we'll see what happens. There's still plenty of game left, so I guess when we check in, we should have a winner. More than likely, whomever wins this game is probably going to finish second in the PIL behind Grant. I'm not sure what the score of that game is, but Grant is indeed the leader in the PIL right now, so whomever wins this game will be rested comfortably, probably in that second-place spot. Checking in from Roosevelt High School, Rashad Taylor for the Power Rangers Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Thank you very much, Rashad. We will hear from him when that game goes final, probably when we get to the our scoreboard rundown. And then Will Darkins, the other top five matchup in the Three Rivers League over at West Linton, Tigard and West Linn. This one, Tigard jumped out to a lead. They've been holding off a comeback from the Lions. Will, where are we at?
Okay, so there's about 4 minutes left in this game, and Tigard is still up 42-21. Much like Rashad's game, a barrage of flags and officiating has ran this one late, but it all started in the second half when Tigard got the ball to start, and they went right to work on a third down conversion. Drew Carter threw a quick slant to Josh Burns that turned into a 40-yard score. Tigard was up 28-7 at that point, but the Lions, they're going to stay in the fight. They put together their quality drive that ended with Ethan Colden finding DeMeco Kidmore for a 5-yard score. Tiger still up 28-14 at that point, but the Tigers' offense, it just was unrelenting. Josh Burns, he ran for his third score of the night, up 35-14 at that point. West Linn did get some scoring in. They continued to hang on. They build a strong drive. DeMeco Kidmore, he gets his second score of the night, gets into the end zone on a 2-yard run, but it's Josh Burns again, his fourth touchdown of the night on a 67-yard touchdown run. That's where we are right now at a 42-21 score. The Tigers are right now even threatening to score again. They're within the 20 with about 3 minutes left now. We'll get you a score update when that goes final. Reporting live from Tigard High School for the Power Rangers Game of the Week, I'm Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Thank you, Will. So those games still in contention, and we'll definitely get a complete wrap-up once those games go final. And still, once we get into the scoreboard, we'll check in as well with Luke Anderson. He's keeping an eye on everything going on in Southwest Washington. And as we try and get to a update, see if things are going. We had some halftime scores there, thanks to our friends at the Columbian. And again, looks like Evergreen up 42-14 in the fourth quarter. Prairie, a 24-6 lead over Ridgefield.
Prairie was a terrible program for years, but yep, they didn't win a game. It's really cool. I don't follow it super closely, but it seems like every week you give an update, they're ahead.
Yeah, they got down to the 3A level, and they've started to build a program for themselves there. They were taking on a 2A team tonight in Ridgefield, but they come in 6-1, so an opportunity for them looking at least to get into the district crossover playoff action. That would be a huge, huge turnaround for that Falcons program. And Woodland was leading Columbia River 14-0. That was the latest we had there. La Center, one of the top 1A schools in the Trico, they had a 14-0 lead over Columbia White Salmon. So waiting to see some of these games get to their final status, and Luke Anderson is in checking on those. Tell you what we should do here, Mike. Let's take a break. And if you've got a SportsCenter update ready to go as well, the Blazers in action down in Sacramento. We had a big Pac-12 matchup going on, Game 3 of the World Series. All sorts of things going on outside of the world of football or high school football here tonight. So we can get everybody updated on that. We'll come back. We'll have a little recruiting chat. There's a lot going on down in Eugene this weekend, and a lot of excitement for who's coming in and what might be happening. So we'll check in with Andrew, get his thoughts there, as well as any of the latest news regarding the players locally here in the state of Oregon, any potential news with them. So finished up a little early here tonight. A lot of action on the ground. The clock kept moving as Tualatin found it easy going in the second half, a 34-8 victory over Lake Oswego. We continue on with the Les Schwab Tires post-game scoreboard show here on 1080 The Fan.
You know us, we know football. And all the stadium parking lots you're peeling out of right now. The Les Schwab Tires post-game scoreboard show on the Power Rents Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Jason Swaggart, Andrew Nemec back here at Lake Oswego High School. Tualatin comes in and spoils senior night with a 34-8 victory. A running back, Kainoa Sayer, big night, three touchdowns, 130-plus yards, an impressive showing for him as Tualatin now will look ahead. Waiting, I believe things are done in Tigard, so hopefully we'll have Will Darkins here in a moment as Tigard was up big in the fourth quarter as Westland was trying to, they've got that high-powered, high-octane offense trying to make a rally, and let's go to Will now. Who's there at Tigard High School with a wrap. Will Westland have any magic tricks left in the bag there late?
Not so much, Swag. Tigard basically took control in the score at the last time. That stayed the same. Tigard, they go ahead and hold off Westland at home 42-21. And really, this was a game where it started off pretty slow in the first half where really neither team was scoring too much, and it seems like the defenses were kind of holding steady. But, you know, when we got to the second half, that's when Tigard really started to flourish and started to kind of open things up. In fact, on their first drive of the game, or I'm sorry, the first drive of the half, they got the Tigers got the ball, and they went right to work. A third down conversion, Drew Carter, he threw this quick slant to Josh Burns that turned into this 40-yard score, and that was really kind of the theme of the night for the Tigers, was that they were just working the outside all the time, whether it was zone read plays or quick slants or just trying to get people on screens. They were attacking the outside of Westland's defense, and it worked, obviously, to a T. And, you know, Westland tried to stay in it for the most part, but they just couldn't contain Josh Burns enough. The dude had four touchdowns on the night. You know, the offense was just clicking on all cylinders. So the Tigers, obviously, are still looking like one of the best teams in the state right now, and you know, if they keep performing like this, it's going to pay off once they get to the playoffs. So again, final score here tonight, 42-21, Tigard wins. Reporting live from Tigard High School, I'm Will Darkins for the Les Schwab Tigers post-game show on 1080 The Fan.
All right, thank you very much, Will. So that does indeed set up a showdown. We'll see how much Tualatin climbs. Now that they are 7-1, Lake Oswego 6-2, Westland 5-3. So you would think Tualatin might leapfrog both Westland and Lake Oswego, whether they'll leapfrog Jesuit as well. Will it be 1-2 or 1-3? But it will be for the Three Rivers League title next Friday night at Tualatin. Timberwolves get them at home. So that's going to be a, they got a lot of room to put people in there, and
They're going to need it.
They might. It might be one of those 10,000 people crowds if they can squeeze them all in.
Yeah, and you know, winning a TRL title is not quite as good as winning a state title, obviously. But with what you have to go through to win that league championship, that is a special, special achievement. Lake Oswego won it last year on their way to a state title. Could we see that again for either Tigard or Tualatin? We knew both of those teams coming into the year had a chance to be special. Tualatin was our team that we picked in the preseason to really keep an eye on as the non-traditional power that could really make some noise. They've made me look smart for a change. Didn't necessarily think they'd win tonight after losing to Westland. I started to hedge my bets there, but Tualatin certainly looks like they're having a special season. Tigard undefeated, the number one team in the state. Whoever wins it, they become the favorite to win the state title. It's as simple as that.
Well, and you look, we know John Miller is got a ride to Oregon State. You talk about some of the talent there. Max Lindsay with Tigard's one of the high-profile youngsters, but certainly some guys as we transition here and discuss a little recruiting. How boy, that's just going to be wild. And teams that play physical, that like to play downhill, it's a grudge match to begin with. People that don't know, I think, was it 94 when Tualatin opened up, I believe. And Tualatin, it's the Tiger Tualatin School District, so half, if not more, of the school's population in the new Tualatin High School came from Tigard. And Tigard, for the most part, believes that it's the little brother. It's cute and it's nice, but it's going to be an all-out grudge match on Friday night.
And to be completely honest, Tualatin, in terms of results, has played like the little brother. Tigard has absolutely owned that matchup, and we've seen a number of years where Tualatin looks like they're turning the corner. They're having a special season. They might belong with one of the big boys. They finish their year with Tigard, and Tigard thumps them. And I'm not saying that's going to happen again. I'm just saying that has been the trend. It's happened a number of times. Tualatin would love to flip the script on that, and they've got a chance. I mean, John Miller is a special talent. Kainoa Sayre, the senior running back, we've mentioned a number of times, one of the best stories in the state of Oregon. He's got 22 rushing touchdowns on the year. And Luke Marion, I mean, he delivered one of the hits of the year tonight. Not only that, but he was a big-time receiver, caught a long touchdown pass. Luke Marion might be the best uncommitted prospect in the state of Oregon. Kainoa Sayre still sitting there. Richard Kennel out of Clackamas says, excuse me, not so fast. TJ Price has 19.5 sacks, 31 tackles for loss over at Roosevelt. He says, I'd like to be in that discussion as well. But it's certainly that group of kids that are the top uncommitted prospects that are kind of falling under radar here.
Well, and as we focus our attention now on Oregon and Oregon State, obviously the Ducks, they are playing in the deep end of the talent pool, 4- and 5-star recruits, some more of them coming in. But you wonder for those local kids, the superior athletes that maybe haven't played football for very long or haven't been known about, maybe don't have a designated position, offense, defense, those sorts of guys, but athletically, or the late bloomers, then maybe they were tall at one, but now we're filling out and looking more like Division I sort of athletes. What will happen as we talk about who's coming to Eugene and that early sign? I'm always curious, that early signing period, what are things that happen for an Oregon or Oregon State that would change and all of a sudden they would start to go, all right, we've got some unexpected openings here, or where they might find some of those late bloomers and find some guys at home in their backyard that maybe weren't on the radar to begin with?
I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I really do, because I love the state of Oregon. I love Oregon high school football. The next couple years is just brutal. Just brutal in terms of talent in the state of Oregon. We're talking about a possibility of schools like, and it's not to disparage these schools, but just they have guys returning. We're talking about maybe Mountainside and Jefferson being preseason top five teams next year, because everyone else is losing so much talent and kids aren't playing football to the same level they used to. Oregon is going to experience its worst couple of years that we've ever seen. I think it's very possible that Oregon doesn't have an in-state commitment this year. I think it's very possible they don't get one next year or the year after, and it's not the end of the world. They don't feel like they missed out. Obviously, Lebanon linebacker Keith Brown, who's visiting this weekend, is the number one inside linebacker in the country. Listen, he's tweeted it. You see it on film. He said, I haven't played like the number one inside linebacker in the country this year. He's right. He hasn't. He's a good football player. He's definitely a Pac-12 recruit. He might even be a national recruit. But number one inside linebacker in the country, we're talking about 5-star. We're talking about Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. That's not going to happen for him unless he takes the leap. There's still time. He has not made the leap yet. Looks like a camp warrior and a very good high school football player and potentially a good college player, but not the level that we expected. As for this weekend's visitor list, it starts with 5-star linebacker Noah Sewell, the younger brother of Panay Sewell. He is the number one target for the University of Oregon. They would love to get this kid, and to be completely candid, if they do not get him, I don't think they're going to get a 5-star prospect in this recruiting class. If they do, it'll mark the first time in program history they've gone back-to-back years and landed a five-star defensive prospect. Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one overall prospect in the country last year, and then, of course, it would be Noah Sewell this year. That's how much is riding on it. You either strike out with the five stars or you go back-to-back with defensive five stars for the first time ever. I think the under the radar, and it seems silly to say this, but the under-the-radar prospect visiting Oregon this weekend is class of 2022 Colorado running back Gavin Sawchuk. He confirmed he's visiting last night. Gavin Sawchuk is the number two running back in the country for the class of 2022. Damir Collins is the number two all-purpose back, which is kind of a scat back type position. It's not as highly rated. The number two all-purpose back in the country is usually a three-star prospect. Gavin Sawchuk already has offers. He's 16. Already has offers from Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Oregon, USC, an absolutely special talent. He's from Valor Christian in Colorado. Got a chance to be a really good one. John Humphrey, the four-star corner. He's committed to UCLA. He's from Pasadena. He's visiting Oregon this weekend. Think there's a possibility he flips. Kyron Ware Hudson is playing in a matchup right now between number one Mater Dei, the number one school in the entire country, not just the state of California, against number two John Bosco. Number two John Bosco's not just number two in California, but the nation. Number one versus number two in the nation, modern-day St. John Bosco. Kyron Ware Hudson, a four-star wide receiver. He was on the show last night, and he put it pretty simply. My brother is there. I love Oregon. It's going to take a lot to beat the Ducks. He is considered maybe the most physical receiver in the entire country already, and he's a junior. He's a special talent. There are just a number of big-time players. Steven Ortiz, a four-star corner, is visiting. Gary Bryant Jr. is the number eight wide receiver in the country. He's visiting. You can look at the entire list on OregonLive.com/recruiting. But really, truly, and I talked about this last night, the success or failure of this weekend truly comes down to not necessarily whether they get Noah Sewell this weekend or next week, but if on signing day Noah Sewell signs on the dotted line his national letter of intent with Oregon, there's a good possibility Mario Cristobal's taking his shirt off and running around being crazy because Noah Sewell is a program-altering middle linebacker. He weighed in at around 6'2", 265 pounds, and everybody went, whoa, 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 whoa. You are too big. You're a defensive end or maybe a defensive tackle. There's no way you can play middle linebacker. He put up times that no prospect in the history of the country has put up at his size and weight. We know the Sewell family are freaky-deaky athletes, and certainly Noah falls in line with that. I'm going to say it again. For his height and weight, no athlete in the history of the country playing football is a faster athlete from sideline to sideline or in a 40. That's how special Noah Sewell is. Got to get him to put him in the heart of your defense. Let him wreak havoc in the middle. Kayvon Thibodeau on the edge. And suddenly it's smooth sailing for the Andy Avalos defense in the future.
The Beavers on a bye this week. Normally that means a certain portion of your coaching staff is out beating the bushes. Is that what's going on in Corvallis? Or what are... I also know you're in an odd spot in the calendar too, with the, you know, with the signing, early signing period, still 6 weeks or 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks away.
It's close. That feels close.
So, and I'm not sure. I never knew the calendar as to when the active recruiting periods and when it was quiet periods and all that nonsense from the NCAA.
You're all good now. The Oregon State coaching staff out and about. They're out and about in the state of Oregon. There's a good chance if we would have like peeked around here, we might have seen some people for this Tualatin Lake Oswego matchup. Obviously, they might be taking a late flyer on a guy like a Luke Marion or a Tiger Shanks, the offensive lineman for Lake Oswego. But they always want to check in with John Miller, the star linebacker. I had him as one of the top three prospects in the state of Oregon. The big thing to watch right now for Oregon State, you're right, it's a bye week. Nobody's visiting. But there was news anyway. Alton Julian, one of the top 10 junior college cornerbacks in the entire country, tweeted this weekend, I've got something special for you on Halloween night. No, he's not asking anyone to prom. No, he's not giving out candy at his house. He's probably announcing his commitment. He visited Oregon State just two weekends ago. It didn't come out for a while because he he was committed to Colorado, and Colorado was none too pleased about that visit. He ends up decommitting from Colorado immediately following his Oregon State visit. All signs point to a commitment for Oregon State. And if that happens, I think they also get Rajon Wright. People don't realize this. Alton Julian and Rajon Wright are cousins. Rajon Wright's brother, Nashon Wright, is already on campus at Oregon State. And guess what? All three of them say they want to play together in college. Well, guess where one of them already is? This is going to be a great day for Oregon State if he commits, because it probably means you're getting Rajon Wright as well. That would give Oregon State two of the nation's top five junior college defensive ends and two of the nation's top 10 junior college cornerbacks. The JC ranks are not going to make you a Pac-12 title contender, but the JC ranks and getting the top players in the JC ranks are going to make you competitive, which intrigues the high school guys, which then eventually leads to program building and getting those four- and five-star prospects. A nice step in the right direction for Coach Smith. We'll see if he can close them, but a very nice step in the right direction if he can close those guys by Coach Smith and their staff.
So there you go. Obviously, you can check in with Andrew, Thursday, 7 o'clock following primetime for the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. And also check out the Les Schwab on-demand podcast at 1080thefan.com whenever those recruiting podcasts drop, usually midweek, depending on if you're holding out for an announcement or you've got news to get to. So we'll have more recruiting as well coming up next week. But right now, our buddy in Southwest Washington, Luke Anderson, hopping on the line for us as we get into our Sureway Building Center's Clark County report. And, Luke, the big game this week actually was played last night. Skyview and Camas, both top 10 teams at the 4A level, with one down to the wire. That Camas was able to pull out there. So what were the big games coming into tonight at all the levels as we're just a couple of weeks away from the district playoffs?
Well, you mentioned the Camas Skyview game last night, and Camas did get the win, but they did take a big hit to their prospects for the playoff. They lost their starting quarterback, junior Jake Blair, broke his collarbone. He was knocked out in the early in the third quarter in last night's game. He's done for the season. No expectations of him making it back, no matter how far they make it in the playoffs. So they've got a big matchup against Union next week, and Union took care of business this week, securing a playoff spot. They beat Battleground 52-6. So you've got the setup for that. Union, a one-loss team. They lost to Skyview earlier. So we know who your three playoff teams. It's going to be Skyview, Union, and Camas. But next week's game, without their starting quarterback for Camas, will determine what happens. So they'll play against Union, of course. We'll be on that call from Doc Harris Stadium, Ryan Buckley and I. So that should be a fun one. But, yeah, no trouble for Union tonight. The other matchup between your 4A teams, again, played last night. So you had Heritage play tonight, and they lost their game. They played the early one out of McKenzie, and they played against Emerald from up north. So Emerald Ridge, they beat Heritage 42-8. Heritage didn't have a shot at making the playoffs anyways, but they'll play their final game next week against Skyview, just as kind of a formality. Moving to 3A, though, we had some crazy action. So Evergreen was one of those teams that, you know, thought to be out of it early on, but they got a huge win against Mountain View last week. So they didn't need to, all they needed to do was take care of business this week to set up a big matchup against Prairie next week. They had Hudson's Bay tonight. They won 42-14. Prairie was playing Ridgefield, so that was a non-league matchup. So regardless of what happened in that matchup, Prairie was going to be playing for a league title. Well, they beat Ridgefield, so they'll be playing now Evergreen for a chance to go into the playoffs. The other 3A matchup was another nail-biter and another heartbreaking loss for Mountain View. Mountain View was hosting Kelso tonight, and they had, with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left, Kelso scored with a chance to tie it with a two-point conversion, failed to get the two-point conversion, but got the ball back, kicked a 25-yard field goal with 17 seconds left, took a 29-28 lead, and a surprising move, decided to use the onside kick to seal the victory. Kelso kicked the onside and recover it, and then kneeled the ball down and got a 29-28 win over Kelso. And that's really interesting because Mountain View doesn't have a game next week. So Mountain View will actually be sitting on the sidelines waiting for the results of the game between Prairie and Evergreen. If Prairie wins that game, that means Mountain View is out of the playoffs. If Evergreen gets the win, that would mean that you have Mountain View and Evergreen going into a playoff for the third seed at the third spot in the playoffs for the 3A level. So really interesting with the Mountain View loss, a team that has won five straight 3A league titles, now sitting on the outside waiting to see what happens from the games next week. So really interesting result there. And if you remember last week, they had a big lead against Evergreen before Evergreen scratched and clawed their way back into it and won, beating Mountain View in heartbreaking fashion. So back-to-back weeks where that gets really interesting. Things at the 2A level are pretty clear at the top. We knew Hawkinson was the top dog, and they were taking care of business late against Washougal. They had a 34-16 lead with 5 minutes left, with 3.5 minutes left is the latest update I have, so they should hold on and win there. So that means Hawkinson will play Ridgefield. Ridgefield again playing Prairie tonight. Their loss to Prairie doesn't make a difference. They're sitting at 4-1, so they'll be waiting for Hawkinson next week, and that game will be to see if Hawkinson wins the league outright or ends up being the team that wins. But the game that was more interesting at the 2A level was the matchup between Woodland, who coming into this week had just one league win but was still technically alive in the playoffs. They were playing against Columbia River tonight. Columbia River was 3-2 in league play, so this was River's last game in league play. And they lost 20-13 against Woodland, so now Woodland moves to 2-3, and next week has a chance. All they have to do is beat Mark Morris, who won their first league game tonight against R.A. Long, who was also winless in league. So if they beat Mark Morris next week, that means Woodland would leapfrog ahead of Columbia River and take that spot. And again, Columbia River will be idle. So really big win there. Washougal loses, so they may end up, they should end up being the third seed in there, and then the top two seeds will be settled between Hawkinson and Ridgefield next week. And then the other big win was LeCentre beating Columbia White Salmon in the Trico League. That was a game that sets up a one versus two undefeated teams matchup and a game for first place in the Trico League between Castle Rock and LeCentre next week. So that's kind of the way everything shook out tonight in the Greater St. Helens League. It sets up a lot of great matchups for week nine, and none better than the one that we'll be covering with Union and Camas, seeing if Camas can stay undefeated without their quarterback and set themselves up good going into the playoffs.
All righty, Luke Anderson, our man up there in Clark County. Should be fun next week, and glad you guys will be out at Doc Harris for that one with Union and Camas. And, of course, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 a.m., it's going to be a long day. Ducks, Cougars, you guys will be leading up to it, and some other big college football games as well this weekend.
Yeah, we're really starting to see how college football is shaking out. And then, of course, this time of year, we have to finish out October with one more Tailgate Days event. So actually, Big Sook will be joining me out of Vancouver Ford. We'll be back in the studio getting everything ready for Ducks Game Central and getting everything set up for the day. So we'll have Big Soup joining us live from Vancouver Ford tomorrow morning for the Sinner and Saint Pure Evil Edition.
Sounds good. We'll let you get some sleep, and we'll listen to you tomorrow morning out there with Sook.
All right. Have a great night, guys. And I should mention one more thing before I let you go. I got word today, you'll be excited, Big's Chicken opened that second location out on 43rd and Gleason. Nemec, I know that you've been looking to get yourself some Big's Chicken. So they did a soft opening today, but starting tomorrow, every day, they'll be open 11 to 9. So you can go out there starting with an early lunch or get there for dinner. So congratulations to those guys opening another restaurant. They've been a great supporter of high school football over the years, both on our side of the river and yours. And now they've got two locations to serve everybody.
I could not be happier with that news. Canby won their first game in more than 2 years. Jimmy Joyce, a first-year head coach. That one was thrilling because I know Coach Joyce, he's a great man. The Big's Chicken thing might have just taken the cake and or taken the chicken and been the most exciting news I've heard all night.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad I could bring that to you at the end of the day, and we'll have to run out there and grab lunch next week.
It's a date.
There you
All
go.
Right. I'll see you there. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you in the morning.
All right. Thanks, Luke Anderson, there with our man in Clark County. It has gone final between Jefferson and Roosevelt. So before we hit the top of the hour break, let's bring Rashad Taylor back on. This was a nail biter down the stretch. How did this finish up there, Rashad?
Well, it finished with, I can't really feel my fingers, but it was all worth it. The game started bad, really on the side of Roosevelt. Jefferson ended up making a comeback, but then Jeff made it super, super competitive in the end. They scored after a costly fumble, and they got a touchdown in between there. Damir Collins, it has to be noted, this kid is electric. No matter where he gets the ball, he makes something happen. The score at this point is 27-20. He gets the ball around the end. He scores to make the score 27-26, Roosevelt. Jefferson then missed the PAT. They had an opportunity to stop Roosevelt as they were driving. Now, it looked like Roosevelt was going to score and really put the game out of reach. Jefferson was able to stop that. They got the ball on the one-yard line, and they just could not push the ball any more forward. Roosevelt stuns Jefferson. That's probably the word to use because none of us saw this coming. Luckily, you guys didn't hear my update I was going to do before the game because it was all on the side of Jefferson because there was nothing about the season Roosevelt's been having that would make you believe that they would do this today, but they did. They pulled it out, scores 27-26. Coach Tim Price and his son TJ Price had a big evening tonight, so they look to be in second place right now in the PIL, depending on how Grant did this evening. So the Rough Riders right now are out there clowning as they play some Big Sean, and all their students are happy, and everybody's leaving as Roosevelt celebrates the big win. Checking in from Roosevelt High School, Rashad Taylor for Les Schwab Tires, post-game scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan.
Thank you very much, Rashad. So the Rough Riders in position. We've got a final from Grant coming up, but let's take our break. Mike Lynch will have a Sports Center update, and then when we come back, the Drum Corps will join us. Most of the finals are coming in, and we'll grab a few more for you and give you all the scores we have here tonight, set up the final week of the regular season as we continue on the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show here on 1080 The Fan.
We're back with reports on tonight's high school football action across Oregon and Southwest Washington and sports scores and headlines from across the country. The Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on the Power Rents Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Jason Swigart, Andrew Nemec back here at Lake Oswego High School. Week 8 is now in the books. The finals starting to come in. We've got most of them. Still a few out there that we are looking for. Dusty, I don't have Dusty's text, as a number one 418 Banks was all the way out at Malala. I'm sure they're on a bus by now. So hopefully we'll hear from Dusty here shortly. But the Drum Corps is here with us, so let's get it going. As always, we start with the 6A top 10. This is according to the coaches' poll that our friend Jerry Ulmer there with OSA Today helps coordinate. Ah, there's Dusty. He's listening. What a good lad. We love the fan man. We'll get to the 4A in just a moment. All right, you heard from Will Darkins. Number one, Tigard holds off number three, West Lynn. 42-21, Tigard is the only undefeated team at the 6A level. They are 8-0. West Lynn falls to 5-3. Our game here, number 5, Tualatin, improves to 7-1 with a 34-8 win over number 2, Lake Oswego, who falls to 6-2. It was Kainoa Sayer with a huge night, 3 touchdowns, 130 yards on the ground. They controlled the game. Blake Jackson doing a great job at quarterback, efficient in the passing game, and using his legs for another 90 yards on the ground. But this Tualatin team will play Tigard, rivalry game, final week of the season at home, winner gets the Three Rivers League crown.
Last year it was Lake Oswego, Lake Ridge, crosstown rivals for the TRL title. This year it's Tigard and Tualatin. Historically speaking, Tigard has owned that matchup, but this is a different Tualatin program than in years past. Oregon State linebacker commit John Miller. Luke Marion is the son of All-Pro from the Dallas Cowboys, Brock Marion. Luke Marion, a very special talent, still uncommitted. They are a loaded squad. That's going to be a great matchup.
Number four, Jesuit. Sunset gave him a game. 49-26 the final. One of those games, again, where I would imagine Jesuit was in control. They've got Atkinson. They got Wisher in control of that rushing attack. But you look ahead. We'll get to Beaverton here in a moment. But we've got that game next week. And Beaverton, it was a fairly similar score in our game we had with them in Sunset last week. Could be time for the beat. Every once in a while, Bob Boyer gets a group of athletes to come through that school, and he can pull off the big upset and bring him a title.
Well, we saw Jesuit get beat earlier this year by a passing attack of Aloha. Beaverton's passing attack is a supercharged version. Carson Budke, the senior quarterback, might be the state's best passer. He's got unquestionably the state's best receiving duo, senior Cody Davidson, junior Trent Walker. Both will be All-State. I would guess Davidson honorable mention. Trent Walker looking like a first-teamer. They're going to be dangerous. That's going to be a shootout. Jesuit's going to run the ball and put up points because Beaverton, I don't think, is going to be able to stop them. But I'm not sure Jesuit's secondary can stop the Beaverton passing attack. We're going to see a high-scoring affair for the Metro League title.
Number six, Central Catholic, is now 6-2, handing Barlow their second loss, 53-14. Number seven, Beaverton, no problems with Southridge, 49-14. They take down the Skyhawks. The Beavers are now 7-1. Number eight, Sherwood, we heard from Joe Fisher early. Easy time with Liberty, 56-7, so Sherwood is now 6-2. Wild one over in Aloha. The Warriors had the Black Tornado from North Medford come up, gave up the early lead, and then rallied late for a 35-33 victory. So Aloha is 7-1. And so it'll be interesting now. Beaverton is undefeated still in Metro League play. They got a win over Aloha. Aloha, though, beat Jesuit. So if Jesuit wins, you have a three-way tie. And I'm not sure how that sorts itself out if it's just everybody's co-champs and everybody drinks Kool-Aid together.
They just voted on this. They actually play musical chairs. Musical chairs determines the Metro. That is not true. It'll be interesting to see. But you know what? The Metro League has been down for the last, I don't know, decade or so, where it's been Jesuit, and then no disrespect, but in terms of the state title picture, who cares who finishes second and third? They've got no shot of getting out of the second round. We're seeing a situation here where Aloha's pretty dang good. Beaverton's good. Mountainside's on the come up. The Metro League is experiencing a resurgence. That's great to see. The PIL also getting a little better. That's great to see.
All right, we get into some other league scores. Hey, congratulations. You mentioned it. Canby getting their first league win in a couple of years, 35-28 over Oregon City. A wild one. We heard the score. Bend was up 27-0 on Lakeridge at half. Lakeridge nearly pulled off the miracle. They fall to Bend 34-33 on the road. So we see inconsistent week to week, half to half, quarter to quarter with Lakeridge. But when they get Jalen John going and can generate defensively some pressure, they have talent. They have skill and talent to be able to do it. They just need to replicate it over and over.
Somebody's going to get them on their first round schedule, and Lakeridge is probably going to have to travel there, and they're going to go, you got to be kidding me. That's my first game. They have the state's highest rated running back recruit since Thomas Tyner in the class of 2013. Jalen John, special talent, committed to Arizona. And then congrats to Jimmy Joyce. He was the offensive coordinator over at Beaverton last year, that high-powered offense. He got the job over at Canby. Loved the hire. I thought it was the best new coaching hire. Canby gets its first win in more than 2 years, beating an Oregon City program that traditionally is pretty solid. That is no slouch of a victory, so congrats to Canby.
Pacific League action. Newburgh shuts out McMinnville 21-0, so Newburgh in line for a Pacific League title. And Glencoe, a 17-14 winner over Century, so Glencoe's going to finish with a winning record in the regular season. Mount Hood action. Clackamas doubles up David Douglas, 56-28. So Clackamas now 4-3. Reynolds, a 43-6 winner over Gresham to improve to 5-3. And Sandy, a 28-0 shutout of Centennial. PIL, you heard from Rashad, a wild finish there, but Roosevelt, a 27-26 win over Jefferson, keeping themselves alive for a piece of the PIL title. Grant, no problems with Franklin, 51-7. Metro League Mountainside, a 38-8 winner over Westview. So the Mustangs will have a winning season at 5-3. Southwest Conference, South Medford holds off Grants Pass 19-14. Greater Valley League, last we heard, Sprague was up 35-28 on Mountain View late in the fourth quarter. West Salem beats McNary 23-21. And that will wrap up the 6A scores that we have. Okay, we get to 5A action. And for some reason, the Mid-Willamette League is tardy getting their scores in. But number one, Thurston, continues to cruise. The Colts shut out Springfield 49-0. And I don't know who's going to derail the Colts, the defending 5A champions. All right, number four, Crater, a 56-0 shutout of Eagle Point. So the Comets are 7-1 now. We are looking for that Wilsonville score. They were taking on the Wilson Trojans as heavy favorites. Elsewhere in the Northwest Oregon Conference, Hood River, a 52-12 winner over Milwaukee. Forest Grove, 28-14 over St. Helens. Hillsboro routes Putnam 44-6. Park Rose, we should note, Keenan Lowe last week, they had that big upset over Pendleton. If Park Rose could get a win tonight over LaSalle, they were going to clinch one of the two automatic berths in their division. So the Broncos trying to rally around and see if they can come up with something special. 4A action. We heard from Dusty. Congratulations to Banks. They are Coapa champions. A 45-6 win over Molalla. They're 8-0. They get a bye next week as the second and third seeds in all the leagues vie to get into the field of 16. But the Braves looking to repeat at the 4A level.
Yeah, they won it last year, and they lost some real talent. And that speaks to the running back wide receiver position coach. No, it speaks to the depth of the program and the coaching staff as a whole, the talent in that community, the buy-in in that community, that with the talent they lost, that they're able to potentially repeat. And certainly they're the favorite to repeat at the 4A level. That speaks to the depth and quality of that program.
Now, number two, LeGrand, and number nine, Baker, will play tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Third-ranked Marist Catholic holding off number 10, Marshfield, 27-21. Number four, Mazama, a 14-10 win over number five, Henley. So a lot of top 10 matchups at the 4A level. Seventh-ranked Gladstone, no problems with Woodburn, 51-13. Number six, North Marion, 21-20, squeaking one out over the Dalles. And number eight, Cascade, beats Philomath 64-13. They are the Oregon West Conference champions. Tri-Valley action, Estacada, a 38-13 win over Crook County. Elsewhere in the Coapa League, Seaside, 18-0 shutout of Tillamook. Astoria falls to Valley Catholic, 32-29. And Staten, a 41-18 victory over Sisters. So those are all the scores that we have. Of course, you can go to osaa.org. You got some more finals?
Well, there's just a big one in the state of California. It's the two top programs in the nation. Number one, Mater Dei, 38. St. John Bosco, 24. It's not gone final. Mater Dei was up three scores not long ago. There's only 7 minutes left. St. John Bosco, I believe, has the ball down 14 with 7 minutes left. So still time, but looks like Mater Dei, the number one team, is going to retain its top spot.
So that sets up final week of the regular season next week. A lot of rivalries going on. You got Oregon City West Lynn in the battle for the bridge, Lake Oswego Lake Ridge, and, of course, Tiger Tualatin will be for the Three Rivers League title. We expect, I believe, Central Catholic will take on Clackamas, and how things work in the Mount Hood. They've got those crossover games. Clackamas got it together in time in conference play to handle things there. You got the Black and Blue Bowl down south, North and South Medford will go on at Spiegelberg Stadium. So all your traditional sort of rivalries on the final night of the regular season as we get closer and closer to putting that bracket together.
Yeah, and, you know, the Tiger-Tualatin matchup's obviously going to be great. It's either going to be 1-2 or 1-3 with the Three Rivers League title on the line. But there aren't too many times that the Metro League title is up for grabs, and I think we are going to see a phenomenal football game next week when Jesuit plays Beaverton. This Beaverton team is no joke. They are loaded, and they throw the football. That is what Jesuit struggles to stop, is the passing game. Beaverton might have the best aerial attack in the entire state. They can't stop the run very well. Jesuit can really run the ball with Cade Wisher and Atkinson over there. That's going to be a high-scoring game with the Metro League title on the line, and what a narrative it would be, whether it's Jesuit wins a state title without Andy, or excuse me, a Metro League title without Andy Alfieri for most of the season, or if Beaverton's finally able to topple this Jesuit team for the Metro League crown. I cannot wait for that game. It's going to be so much fun.
So, it is a fun, we didn't get to the final score. McNary actually beat West Salem 28-23. So we had a 23-21 score, but that was not a final score. So congratulations.
McNary doing it again, starting the year 0-5, and then going to end up winning the last four and maybe winning the league title.
So, yeah, we will be at Beaverton High School next Friday night. Beaverton and Jesuit, what are they, four miles apart down there on between Farmington and one side's Farmington, one side's Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. You can walk from one school to the other, and it should be big, big fun. So thanks to Beaverton High School for letting us come on short notice. So we are looking forward to that one. Wild night here, but Tualatin, this might be that victory for Coach Lever, who it sounds like has every intent on staying. We know it was about 4 or 5 years ago that Tualatin program was in turmoil and coaches coming and going and couldn't seem to get some consistency for the kids. But now it looks like he's building a program. The youth programs are on board with him in Tualatin. And, boy, a big victory on the road at Lake Oswego. If they can pull one more at Tualatin, they very well could be the number one overall seed going into the tournament.
Yeah, and you look at it last year. They were 6-0, and they finished the year with West Lynn, Laco, and Tigard. They lost all three and entered as a battered program. This year, they were 6-0. They lose to West Lynn. They've still got Lake Oswego and Tigard on the schedule, and you go, oh, no, are they going to have that slide again where they fall out of that state title contender status right before the playoffs? No. An emphatic win tonight, a 34-8 win over Lake Oswego. They are for real, and they are going to take on Tigard in what's going to be a phenomenal football game for the Three Rivers League title, and it just speaks to the elevation of this program. Last year they weren't ready. A lot of that nucleus is back. John Miller, Luke Marion, Kainoa Sayre, and they're ready, rocking, and rolling. That's going to be a great football game.
Well, we're just getting started with our football weekend. It is tomorrow all about the Ducks and the Cougs. Center and Saint will be live out of Vancouver. Fort Suk will join them, so a good week to have him sitting in, breaking down the Ducks and Cougs. Oregon trying to end a four-game losing streak to Washington State, keep their winning streak going this season, and try and crack the top 10. So we will have at 1 o'clock the Ducks Roundtable replay, 2 o'clock the Ducks Coaches Show replay, and then at 3 o'clock, down in Eugene, Dusty Hara, Anthony Newman with fans Ducks game day. We'll turn it over to Jerry, Jorgie, and Joey at 5:30. Kickoff 7:30. Sometime, hopefully around before midnight, Dirt will join you for the Ducks postgame scoreboard show. So Ducks, Cougs all day long on the Fan. Tomorrow morning on 910 ESPN Portland, 9 a.m., we will have Wisconsin and Ohio State for you there. And then at 4 o'clock, game 4 of the World Series, the Astros getting a victory tonight, so that series is 2-1. Sunday, early start for the Seahawks, 8 a.m. pregame, 10 o'clock kick. They're in Atlanta. See if they can get a get-right game. Matt Ryan's ankle was iffy if he was going to be able to play for the Falcons. And then at 4 o'clock, game 5 now, which will be necessary, the World Series. That'll be at 4 o'clock here on The Fan. We've got our NFL doubleheader for you over on 910 ESPN Portland starting at 9:30 in the morning. So football, 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 and a little World Series thrown in.
It's a pretty good slate. It's a pretty good slate
this
weekend.
Yeah, you're running around.
When you've got football, it's the heart of football season,
yep.
And then you just kind of sprinkle in a great World Series, a pair of great World Series games. Incredible slate.
Once again, thanks to everybody making this broadcast possible here tonight. We want to Brigham Baker, the athletic director here at Lake Oswego, his entire staff, always so hospitable for us here. As well, both coaches, Steve Corey, his assistant Chris Hubley, as well as Coach Dan Lever with Tualatin, getting us information on the teams during the week. We want to thank all of our reporters, Luke Anderson, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, and Will Darkins. It did get chilly out there tonight, so we appreciate all the guys out in the field for us. Our on-site engineer, Dakota Cornelius, as always, making things very smooth for us. Mike Lynch holding down the fort back in the fan studios as well. We'll talk to you next Friday night, 6:45 p.m. from Beaverton High School as the Beavers take on the Jesuit Crusaders for the Metro League title. Should be a great one. Until then, enjoy your football weekend here on the Fan. For Andrew Nemec, I'm Jason Swigart. Our final score once again, Tualatin 34, Lake Oswego 8. Have a very good night.
Red 18, hut, hut, hike!
This has been the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show. Join us tomorrow morning for College Game Day, the Sinner and the Saints Tailgate Show, Oregon Ducks Football, and the top national college games. We're back next week for high school football action brought to you by Power Rents, your local Les Schwab Tire Center, by Conrad Lumber, Big's Chicken, and by Sureway Building Centers. Thanks for listening to Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.